The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Gary picked a good Sunday to be gone, didn't he? When he told me that he had some business to do in Minnesota and asked if I would lead worship today, when he comes back anyway, I'm going to ask him if one of those reasons he had for going to Minnesota was the gospel reading for today. It's not what we expect to hear from Jesus, is it? He's preaching hellfire and brimstone, talking about not bringing peace but division. Why? Why is he talking this way? Well, let me put it this way. Have you ever been frustrated by a loved one? Or have you ever frustrated a loved one? You see, Jesus is really frustrated with his loved ones. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time. And then he says, it didn't come to bring peace, but division. Now, we know all about division. We all have stories that we can share about divisions that have happened in our families, in our communities, in our church, in our nation, in the world. There's all kinds of divisions. One winter day when I was out for a walk, walking down the sidewalk had been shoveled. But right on the property line, there was a mound of snow. Neither person had shoveled it. That told me that there was some kind of disfugally going on there somewhere. Right on the property line was this mound of snow. We all know about division and the hurt that comes when there's a broken relationship. The divisions that come when a member of the family marries a person of another faith, even within the Christendom, and sometimes even been disowned because of how they've disappointed family. And then there's all a host of things that happen in our country that bring all kinds of division. The fear and the division caused by these automatic weapons, these large magazines, all kinds of debate and discussion. I used to be a member of the NRA. I stopped my membership when they advertised a plastic weapon in their magazine so that it could get through security. Who needs something like that? Or why should a sporting goods store be selling a gun case shaped like a guitar case? See, now I've already stirred up some feelings here, haven't I? On both sides. Like this, there are many issues that provoke a lot of emotions and varying viewpoints. How do we handle it? How do we handle this disarray? There's a story of a church council meeting where a council member and the pastor got into a very, very heated discussion. In fact, it turned into a shouting match, and finally the council member left the room in a huff, and the pastor was red-faced and just couldn't believe that he had exploded the way that they both exploded, and it was a mess. Well, the pastor knew that that was going to be the whole talk of the town the next several days and beyond. He really dreaded the worship service the next Sunday. He was sure that the council member would not be there, and he was sure that the whole congregation was waiting to hear what he would have to say about his temper. That Sunday, the pastor stepped up to lead the worship, and lo and behold, in walks that council member. And the pastor thought, uh-oh, is he going to create a ruckus here? Is there going to be a problem? But the council member just sat down. And after the worship service, when the pastor was greeting the congregation, came to him and apologized, and he said, "You know, I am so sorry, but I'm so surprised that you were here after the way that I treated you the other night, and you know the argument that we had." And this council member very wisely said, "Well, Pastor, my argument is not with God, it's with you. I came here to worship." Now tell me if that isn't maturity. Tell me if that isn't what we are to be about. That even with all the difference and divisions, we can still come together. I remember when the ELCA was being organized, and I wasn't a big fan of it myself, but I remember one gentleman who asked me what I thought. And so I told him, and this is, I've said this often, that if it were possible for us to have the perfect church, there would have been no need for Jesus to come in the first place. And wouldn't it be cool if there would be a church named Black and Blue Lutheran Church? All of us have had our toes stepped on. We've all had our feelings hurt in one way or another. The church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. In our society today, there is so much polarization and finger-pointing in politics and on social issues. Immigration, for instance. And speaking of that, how many of you get Living the Lutheran magazine? Raise your hand. There's a few of you. Okay. In the July issue, I'm going to share something with you. I didn't know this until I read it in Living Lutheran. Stories of Hope and Resilience. Now, this has to do with immigration. There have been 282,000 Hondurans who have been deported back to Honduras. But now this is what I really did not know. I will read. "But returned migrants are finding new life in Honduras with support from the ELCA, that's us, the World Federation, and the Mennonite Social Action Committee. You know what we're doing there in Honduras? When these folks are being sent back to Honduras, they're being met at the bus, and they're being given opportunity. They're shown some ways to learn a trade, to get some education, to make some money, to support their families. I'll share with you two stories. Sylvia, the threat of violence caused her to flee her home seven times, six times into Mexico and once into the U.S. And when she was connected with this organization, they found out she had an interest in cosmetology, so they taught her. And now she has her own business and is supporting her family. And she's happy to be in her own country because she can now support her family. And then there's Alex. When he'd made a connection with this service, he says, I have gone through several trainings, business plans, investments, human rights. These are all workshops I've attended. Today, Alex supports himself and his family members, and he's hoping to go into law school. I didn't know about that, did you? How many of you knew that? Raise your hands. No. Get the magazine, please. It's good to have some good news. And they also do some not-so-fun stuff in here, too, but it's worth the read. Friend, when I worked at Missouri Slope, a colleague there was sharing that she was trying to encourage another employee who had been employed there, who was really struggling. She was this other employee was not seen as attractive, and just was not an attractive person. Well, anyway, she was trying to encourage her, and she said, well, you know, beauty is only skin deep. But the girl replied, yeah, but ugly goes to the bone. Isn't that strange when you stop and think about it? She'd been through an awful lot of hurt, and she knew right down to the very bone, to the very core of her being. Well, I think that's true not only in appearances, but it's also true when it comes to issues and decisions and struggles that we have. We need to look deeper. Is the information we have accurate? Do we have all the facts? Or do we just pick and choose what we like? Are we listening? Remember, God created us with two ears in one mouth. Maybe that means we're to be doing more listening. Hard things happen. I remember that years ago, after a funeral, I had a gentleman come up to me and he said, Pastor, how does it feel to have a funeral for a man who's condemned to hell? Well, I had visited this person a few times in the hospital, and he wasn't a member of the church, and I don't know what this guy was getting at, but I also know that God sees more than we see. God knows what was in that guy's heart, so who are we to judge? And then, you know, the seven last words of the church, we never did it that way before. We get so ingrained in the way we do things that we tend to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to something that might be worth a try. And there's only one thing more certain than death and taxes. And it is this: God's persistent love. That's why Jesus made that agonizing journey to the cross. to not only bring fire and division, but to also bring forgiveness, hope, and life. Fire destroys, but also purifies. Jesus said, I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. So how do we interpret this present time? I really believe that we should begin with God's claim on us. In our baptism, God promises us that we belong to God, and God loves us. How do we express that love? In what we think, in what we say, in what we do or not do. Last weekend, Judy and I were visiting friends in Livingston, Montana, and at worship last Sunday, the pastor there shared a story that I'm going to share with you now. And it's a story about a synagogue. And this could also be true of a Lutheran church, and you'll see how it fits. Anyway, this story is about the synagogue, where when they would get together for worship, without fail, every Sabbath, there was a certain prayer that when it was prayed, half the congregation would stand, the other half would sit, and then they would get into an argument about what was the tradition. What was the tradition? And they had this young new rabbi, and he was just flabbergasted by that. And so what he did when he saw what was happening, he asked, does anybody in this synagogue know the tradition to settle this matter? And he says, well, yeah, there's this 94-year-old member, he's in the nursing home. So the rabbi, he took a member of the sitting group and of the standing group, and they went to the nursing home, and the guy from the standing group said, isn't it our tradition that during this prayer that we stand? And the old-timer shook his head, no, that's not the tradition. And the other one, the sitter, said, yes, it's sitting. The gentleman said, no, it's not sitting. Well, then the sitter and the stander, they got arguing back and forth, and the resident in the nursing home said, now that's the tradition. When it comes to issues and divisions, are we a part of the problem or part of the solution? Does God have a word of love that we can offer and share with others? Or a word of forgiveness? Or a word of encouragement? Can we offer a listening ear to better understand? Can we offer a hand? How can we make a difference? Maybe we can learn something from the 9-year-old boy who, with his birthday money, bought water and fed the homeless, gave the water bottles to the homeless. Compassion. Maybe that's a good starting point. And then to remember this, we are here. We are gathered here to worship God. We come with a whole host of feelings, of emotions, and ideas. And sometimes there might be a little rubbing the wrong way. But you know, the truth of the matter is, when you stop and think about it, we are experiencing a miracle right here, right now. Because even with all of that different stuff going on, not only in our lives and in the congregation, but in our community, in our country, and in the world, we are here because God loves us, God claims us, and God invites us to come and share in a meal in which he reminds us that we are loved, that we're forgiven, and nothing is going to stop him ever from loving us. Nothing. So for him and to him we give thanks and praise. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds united in Christ Jesus. Amen.